show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 2 o'clock in Philadelphia and time for the best show ever. Now, your starting lineup. Bring in the heat. Ricky. The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. Best show ever here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. 610-632-0975 is the number to participate. We're going to have a lively day today, and that is now promised after what happened right before the show. So let's get right to our opening statements. We start with the word of the day. And the word of the day today is confidence. Confidence. Now it has extra meaning. We'll start with the Eagles. Later on, we'll get to the other meaning of why the word of the day today is confidence. It's because we've been talking about the vibes around the city here as we're out and about. All of us different ages, different. We don't live in the same towns, but we end up getting this consensus around the area of Tom Alvord in for Jen Squirtle, who's under the weather, Ricky Bow, Hunter. You know, everybody has this different, usually lately, we've had the same kind of feel. And what we're feeling is the city right now, a lot of confidence, a lot of confidence around the city, more confidence this Thursday than there was last Thursday going into the Giants game. And we're not saying that's a bad thing. We individually were confident, but we didn't get a lot of confidence back. There were a lot of people who, for whatever reason, doesn't really matter now because the Eagles handled business 38-7, that were not really confident last week. Fast forward 7 days later after the Eagles take care of business against the Giants, tons of confidence on Thursday because Thursday's the day where we start to really look towards the game. And unfortunately, there's no time machines because we would love to be Sunday 3 o'clock right now, but we can't do that, obviously. But the city, all of a sudden, has its swagger back. It has its confidence back. This is the most confident bunch this city has been since I can remember. During the previous Super Bowl run, because of the Nick Foles factor, it's easy after the fact for people to go, I always believed in Nick Foles. You didn't. Not everybody didn't. After the Atlanta game, there was fear going into that Vikings game. And then after the Vikings game, there was fear of Tom Brady. Not that the Eagles fans were being fatalist and saying they had no shot, but they couldn't really puff the chest all the way out because it was Nick Foles and he didn't play well against Atlanta, so you didn't know. You didn't have it all the way. This time, this city is as confident as any time I can remember when a week ago they weren't really that confident. And I'm just trying to find out why. I don't mind it. I love the confidence. I'm not one. There's people that do things like, oh, well, you got to stay humble because then if you lose, I don't care. I've never worried about that. Playing sports, talking about sports, living life, I've never worried about that. If I talk trash to a person, well, they were going to get that 30-point night that day anyway. I might as well have fun doing it. And if I get in their head, even better. So I'm not one of those people, but this city is now suddenly they got a ton of confidence. And I think that's great because the Eagles are the best team in the NFL. The Eagles are the best team in the NFL. They just are. And I believe it. We've believed it for a long time. And they showed it again last week. And I think it's going to show up this week again against the 49ers. Does it mean it's going to be as easy a game as the Giants game? Because the Giants weren't good. 49ers are good. The Giants weren't good. That was part of why we were so confident. We were like, why are people worried about the Giants? Like, I'd rather play, I don't know, I mean, Pensacola High. Like, we might give them a tougher game than the Giants. I didn't believe in the Giants. 49ers are a good team, but it's not really about what the 49ers would do or the Chiefs would do or the Bengals would do. I have confidence in my team. And suddenly around the city, there's a lot of people making the Super Bowl plans now. When last week, they weren't prepared making plans for this week. Last week, it was, I don't know, Daniel Jones, I don't know. The Eagles haven't looked good. There was a lot of things that were holding fans back a week ago. This week, though, it's pedal to the metal, Super Bowl parties, Super Bowl planning, trip planning. I found out that I'm going to have to try to sell my non-refundable first class seat out to Arizona, which is unfortunate. I really did. That wasn't a bit. I really did that. So I'm going to find out if you're allowed to sell an airline ticket. It was only one, so you had to go fly by yourself, but we'll work on that. First class to Arizona, non-refundable, and now I can't use it, but we'll get to that also later on today. But a lot of confidence around the city, Hunter.
As there should be. And you're also probably going to be adding back Avante Maddox, which it seems. And I didn't expect it here. If they got to the Super Bowl, I probably would have felt better about it. But it would be insane. You can have him and then C.J. Gardner-Johnson back into his original spot with your two DBs that you know are phenomenal and the pass rush that got 70 sacks. So my question becomes, and I know it's a broken record, where does Purdy go with the football? Because every area is going to be covered. He doesn't throw the ball on the outside. He doesn't have that killer instinct as the quarterback. This is going to be fantastic from a defensive standpoint. I feel that confident in the defense going to abuse this football team. Now, why was it the way it was against the Giants compared to now? I think some fans probably got fooled by the word momentum and afraid that there was a lack thereof, you know, at the end of that season. But you got to remember that in this league, there's so many times where a team looks a certain way in week 6 and then looks different in week 7. They look different in week 8 and then week 15 is a completely different beast. You know, based off the entire season, what this team is capable of doing. I want to know from the ones out there, if the Eagles beat the Giants 21-20, would you feel the same exact way? Would you be entering this week with that same exact fire? Or would you be nervous? Well, they escaped. I'm going to look back at 2017 against the Falcons. It was not a team, the Eagles team that just steamrolled the Atlanta Falcons, but they sure did look fantastic the next 2 weeks. I think there was too much obsession with how it looked at the end without taking a deep breath and realizing that Lane Johnson wasn't where he's at right now. The quarterback situation was all over the place, and that last week Jalen Hurts just got back. So you need to give him some time to rest the shoulder, give him some time to get back out there and get a feel. Ultimately, I'm flying high thinking about what this team can do. I think that had something to do with it. They got obsessed with how it looked late without realizing when everybody got healthy what they're capable of really doing.
The defensive line. I'm going to start there. These guys could get in on any quarterback, any offensive backfield in the league. That's where it starts for me. Hassan Reddick, yeah, he's going to be all over Brock Purdy. You ask what Brock Purdy's going to be doing, he's going to be swallowing footballs on Sunday. There's no doubt in my mind on that side of the ball. You look at everything right now. You look at quarterback play. Who do you favor? I favor Jalen Hurts over Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy's going to, I'm telling you, rude awakening. Deebo Samuel went on and said, oh, well, you know, basically their stadium is the loudest. No, no, pal, you don't know what you're getting yourself into, and you just made it 10 times worse when you come in on Sunday. And this crowd is going to be behind the Eagles. There's no doubt about that, and I think that's going to play with the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. Absolutely. You look at the running backs. Okay, they have some pretty good running backs. Agree? Yeah, well, guess what? Both of them are injured right now, or at least somewhat injured. You look at the Eagles' backfield, who went wild against the Giants. I think that's another win for the Eagles. And you go as far as the wide receivers. Okay, Deebo Samuel's a good wide receiver. Ayuk, he's a good wide receiver. But then you put up Smith, and you put up Brown. Oh, I take the Eagles. Everything I'm saying right now, including the head coaches. The matchup of the head coaches is probably the closest one there. I still like what Sirianni has done for this team, and he's got a little bit more incentive to play for now that he didn't get elected as a finalist as a coach of the year. I look at this whole thing as a bit of a mismatch. I think we looked at it in the last game against the Giants. I think we looked at it as a bit of a mismatch, and I don't think any of us were nervous here. I think we're in that same type of boat right now. And I think it stems and it looks and it focuses on the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the game as the show goes, but we're going to talk about the fans to start. Why are the fans so confident this week versus last week? What is giving this fan base this surge of confidence that they didn't have? I am truly fascinated. Now, for me, I unfortunately do think, to your original point, Hunter, that it was the way it looked against the Giants. My issue with that is You shouldn't have to beat a team 38-7 to have confidence. Whether you win by 1 or 100, you just win and move on. The Eagles are a really good team, and if you've watched the team all year, and you know Eagles fans have, it's just it was peculiar that, oh, well, you know how Philadelphia is. No, I don't. No, I don't. I know how previous Philadelphia teams did when they weren't that good. I know how the good teams do, and you know what the good teams do? They win. And you know what the bad teams do? They lose. If you look back at the Buddy Ryan teams, they didn't have enough offensive weapons to go with that good defense. That's why they lost, not because of a Philadelphia curse. So where?
It still comes down to the belief in your roster, doesn't it?
Should.
I think everything comes down to the belief in your roster. Maybe last week they didn't have that belief. And the reason why I'm saying that is because what a fan sees is those last 3 or 4 weeks of the season. It wasn't perfect. That was a problem.
Be perfect. And that I love that you just said that, Ricky, because last night the Sixers, and it ties together here, in the fourth quarter, the Sixers lose the lead a little bit. All the fans are like, oh, Doc, here we go again. They expect the game to have zero flaws. There's going to be runs made in basketball, and at the end, the Sixers made the run. They won the game. With the Eagles, I think fans obsess over the way it looks. It needs to look a certain way. Well, if you go through the 49ers schedule or if you go through the Kansas City Chiefs schedule, there's going to be a game where they won by one. Kansas City and Pat Mahomes don't blow out every team by 20. And they're still right. A phenomenal, fantastic team that consistently make the AFC championship game. So they want it to look like a perfect brand of football. But you got to realize there'll be a three and out. There'll be some drives that are uncomfortable. But you're going to make more plays than you don't. And that's why they're in this position that they're in. But it seems like people lose that sight of the game.
Very well could be.
Consistently being somewhere, you brought that up, remember that. Because the fans of the Chiefs and us watching the Chiefs know that they're going to get there. Or they're going to be close to the Super Bowl every single year. That's where this Eagles organization and fan base has to get to.
To me, it's going to be the second Super Bowl in 5 years.
Beautiful.
610-632-0975. We'll give you some insight on what's going on behind the scenes today and a lot of stuff because there's some very confident people around this city, some of which work in this building. And we'll get into all of it here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. This is Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever. 610-632-0975. 4 o'clock hour already. Brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at LandisBC.com. The Eagles have a big game coming up, and who better to talk about it than James Paul from NFL Network on the Comcast Business Hotline from the area. How are you today, James?
Well, I'm good. I mean, I'm thinking. I've been with all four of these teams that are still left playing quite a bit throughout this season, spending time doing their games. I think these are the four best teams in football. That doesn't always happen every year, yeah. But I think these are the four best teams in football, and they're the four that are left. It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. With that in mind, right at the top, I'll go back for a second, just because nationally, not just NFL Network, but a lot of networks, there was a lot of Giants momentum from the media. The media really thought that Vikings game may have been the Giants turning a corner. And a lot of people gave them a real shot against the Eagles, and then the Eagles just go out there and trounce them and show that at the end of the day, their roster was just playing better. Are you surprised that the Eagles were able to be so dominant?
Maybe the way things were so dominant so early. I did think the Giants were going to give them a little bit of a run. And I did think the Eagles were going to win the game, but I do think everybody kind of had this perspective nationally for two main reasons. One, and this is mine as well, the way that final game went of the regular season. I was at that game with the Giants and Eagles, and you saw the way backups were playing for Brian Daboll. I mean, that's the culture that he has created with that Giants team, guys that are going to go out there and kill themselves for this head coach because of how good he is as a head coach and the culture that he has changed. So you knew then after the Vikings game and putting those two things together, like the kind of effort that you were going to get from the Giants and the kind of, you know, it's New York and Philly. Come on. In the postseason on a Saturday night, I mean, like, you knew the Giants were going to try to come out heavy. But at the same time, I think the other part that played into it, why everybody thought the Giants were going to give them a game, is the way the season ended for Philly. I mean, they didn't come into the postseason, like, rolling the way Cincinnati is, right? I mean, they're not on some massive hot streak through December like Cincinnati was, or some of these others, or say KC for that matter, because of what happened with Jalen and what happened with, you know, him not playing and then them just trying to make sure they got the number one seed against the Giants and not really having their full game plan. So I think almost like the Eagles were the most dominant team in football for the course of the regular season. I just think the way those last few weeks went, people either A, forgot, or B, just didn't really think about it that much and saw the other teams playing. Sometimes you get forgotten when you're not out there playing because you got the bye. I think that's a little bit of what played into that last game. I wasn't surprised by any means, though, the Eagles went out and played really well.
Health is obviously such a key part to success this late into the season. For the 49ers, a couple guys, McCaffrey, Debo Samuel, and some others not practicing, we expect them to play, but what percentage are you hearing that they're at?
Yeah, that's the first part. Expect them to play. I talked to some people in San Francisco, actually, last night, and the thought process is, yeah, the expectation is that they are going to play. But the McCaffrey one's been a little bit interesting. Maybe it's something to where, you know, a little bit of rest is doing more good than maybe they originally thought, and let's rest him for a couple days. I was surprised that he didn't practice today, because after the game, really, from talking to people there wasn't a ton of concern about the calf. And Debo's is even more so, I think, even further than McCaffrey's. Like, well, there's some rest involved there for a guy that they utilize, obviously, so much and use him in so many different ways and the physicality he plays with. I would expect all of them to be good to go. And the other part is, like, I mean, I'm standing in Kansas City right now, and I'm on ankle watch, right? That's all anybody wants to talk about is this Patrick Mahomes' right ankle. I think that one's a little bit different, but with these guys with the Niners, once you get into the postseason game and once, you know, your adrenaline's flowing and what you're doing, I would expect them to be pretty much themselves.
All right, obviously the Niners coming in with a rookie quarterback in Brock Purdy, kind of a two-part. Number one, can he survive the beginning of that game with the fans? And number two, how is Patrick Mahomes' ankle?
Yeah, all right, let's go with number one. I've been around Brock some, I saw him come in, and I covered actually the Thursday night game in Seattle, where, you know, if you want to talk about hostile environments, I mean, Seattle's right up there, right? And I mean, I've covered Eagles games there too. And so him going in there on a Thursday night and it just not fazing him by any means. I know Philly's going to be rowdy. I know it's going to be a wild atmosphere. I don't think that part's going to faze him all that much. I do think the communication between him and Kyle Shanahan is really important. Kyle, and I don't know if people know this, is like one of the best coaches in terms of the way he communicates in-game through the headset with his quarterback. Like, he's really, really good at setting his quarterback up for success, and it's a big part of it. So if Brock Purdy can't hear him, that would play a little bit of a part in it if you know, the crowd's playing a part in that aspect. In terms of survival, I think this last game we saw against Dallas told, like, you know, there's almost this aspect that he's playing so well. And I know a lot about him. He's a really confident guy. He has great football instincts. He sees things really quickly, so it makes him a little bit faster than he is. A little bit, ball gets out of his hands a little bit quicker sometimes because he sees the game so well with his football IQ. But at the same time, I saw a guy that was almost like a little overconfident with some of the stuff he was trying to do in the backfield, you know, spin away from this guy and try to make a play. And it's like, yeah, I don't know if that skill set is Brock Purdy. And I look at this Eagles pass rush and go, if you think you're going to be able to, like, spin away from Hassan Reddick, 9 times out of 10, like, somebody like Javon Hargraves or Fletcher Cox is coming from the other side or up the middle and might decapitate him. I mean, I think he shouldn't think about messing around behind the line of scrimmage against this Eagles team. That's the survival part, I think, of your question that comes to my mind. And then with Patrick Mahomes and his ankle, I had a chance to watch him in practice today. Moving around, like, in my opinion, just more confidently today than he was yesterday. Yesterday was, like, kind of the first time he was on it. He wanted to test it out and actually responded better than he and the Chiefs I'm told, thought it was going to. So you could kind of see that in his demeanor at practice. Now, today was the more physically demanding practice of their week, so we'll see how he comes out of it. But he's actually moving around better than probably people think. He's not going to be 100%. They're going to manipulate their game plan a little bit in terms of limiting some of the stuff he does. But the arm talent's just so incredible. I still think he's going to be able to do a lot of the special things he does. We'll just see if their defense can slow down Joe Burrow.
You know, it's funny, speaking to James Palmer, covers the NFL for NFL Network, does a fantastic job. Which high school did you go to again, James, for people that don't know?
I went to Upper Marion High School.
Yeah, from right around
Lisa,
here.
Me and Lisa Salters, man, we both went to, ABC and ESPN. Yeah, me and Lisa both went to Upper Marion.
Yeah.
Different eras, let's be honest, but okay.
Yeah, but still, nah, local guy. One thing that jumps out to me, and I know that it's more complicated than this, but the Eagles, and you just mentioned some of it, the pass rush that the Eagles got, 70 mm-hmm. sacks this season. San Francisco, really good with 44. That's like tied for 10th in the league. Something about the fact that the Eagles have been so consistent getting to the quarterback and that continued against the Giants just makes me feel like Brock Purdy will see something on Sunday that he hasn't seen so far in the NFL just because no one gets to the quarterback at the rate that the Eagles do. Other teams might get pressure rate and other things, but as far as getting the quarterback on the ground, the Eagles were far better than everybody else.
15 sacks better than anybody else in football. I mean, I'm standing in Kansas City. They had 55. And so I do think you're right. It's a different group up front. And it's kind of funny. This will tie in. Follow me here. I was doing the divisional round game between the Jags and the Chiefs last week, and I was talking to ownership with the Jaguars on the sideline, and we were talking about Doug Peterson and how happy they are that they brought him in, and the front that they have that's very young, talented. They're going to grow and get better. And the conversation turned to 2017 when the Eagles had such a talented deep defensive front, and that led, in Doug Peterson's mind, I've had conversations with him about it, about a big part of why they won the Super Bowl in 17, because of that defensive front. This defensive front with Philly now is better than that one that was in 2017. And it's funny because talking to the Jags people, they're like, this conversation is on the right track. And they brought up Philly on their own. They were like, look at Philly this year. That defensive line is so talented, so deep. That's a big part of why they have success. I mean, what did Brandon Graham play last week? Like 12 snaps? And he's like 34 or whatever. And like he's able to be effective because these guys get to be fresh. They get to rotate in. I mean, you talk to offensive linemen around the league, and they'll tell you, like, the worst thing you want, and then you put the Eagles talent on top of it, is, like, you break the huddle and you come back, and there's, like, a new group of guys there in front of you. And you're out there for every snap. And you're like, can I get a rotation in real quick? Like, and these guys just keep coming at you up front for Philly. And I think because they're so deep, because they're so talented, because of the veterans that are a part of it too, veterans know how to make big plays in big games. I mean, it's just there's no replacing that. And there's guys on this Eagles team that have played in huge games. And so I think that front is a massive advantage. And a lot of teams around the league look at what Philly's built up front. And a lot of teams around the league believe that's how you make long postseason runs, by having a good front seven.
Yeah, I want you to finish this sentence, and maybe the answer is what you were just alluding to, but the Eagles will win this game if blank.
I would say the Eagles will win this game if they limit the skill group that San Francisco has. I think that's the case. And there's a lot of similarities between these two teams, right? And I think the Eagles don't get enough credit for having skill players that are really, really talented, specifically like yards after the catch and stuff. You look at A.J. Brown. You look at Dallas Goedert. Devontae Smith does it a little bit differently. I think Nick Sirianni was talking about this the other day. I know we talk about Debo and Christian McCaffrey and Juszczyk and Brandon Ayuk and all these talented guys they have. I think the Eagles win if they limit that skill group, because I think the Eagles skill group is going to make plays. And I think they're right up there with the Niners. If you give me my opinion, I think the Niners do have the best group of skill players in the league, top to bottom. Philly's probably number two. So I do think the other parts of the Eagles are better. Obviously, the quarterback position, I think they're better. I think if you limit the skill guys, you win the game. And then the other part of that is, I think you do that if you outcoached the Niners, which is a difficult thing to do with DeMeco Ryans and Kyle Shanahan.
That is just going to be interesting, James. I appreciate you spending some time with us with both the Eagles stuff and with that Chiefs stuff, because everybody's worried about Mahomes' ankle, so we appreciate the update.
Right, yeah,
as
football
well.
Fans just want to see the best guys play, right? I
mean, yeah.
I want to see him go out there and play the way we love to watch him play. Him and Joe Cool. You know, these two games are going to be awesome. It's going to be fantastic.
It really is, man. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk soon.
All right, time to do this, guys. Take it easy.
All right, that was James Palmer from NFL Network on the Comcast Business Hotline. All right. Eagles, limit the guys. The best way to limit those guys is to sack that damn quarterback. Get after him. Put him on the turf. 610-632-0975. Jim and Lee, Brian, Jim, Will. We'll get you on the other side here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, this is 75 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever. 610-632-0975. Too early for this song. This is a closer type song, because then drunk people are going to want to yell singing.
This falls in the category for me. I'm always anti-Mr. Brightside. This kind of falls in that category of I don't want to hear people scream this drunk. Is that a flaw by me?
Well, I mean,
before your time.
I mean, if you're anti-fun.
No, I'm not anti-fun, but there's a couple songs I'm like Sweet Caroline. And
I like her. See, I'm okay with a that.
Yeah. Some say they're sober. So I'm okay with it certain place. Like Fenway right. Park, that's perfect
but,
for them.
But not at 4:30. Like, this should have been played the last break.
To send us off?
Yeah.
Well, who does that? It's randomized.
No.
No.
No, Coach did that.
Oh, Coach.
We'll have
a word with Coach.
I'd rather not. He's fine. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll.
Woof, woof. Doghouse.
Nah, there's no doghouse. I'm good. let's get the latest Twitter poll numbers with Tom Alvord.
Yes, so on the official 97.5 The Fanatic Twitter account, why do you believe a majority of Philadelphia is so confident going into this game against the 49ers? Still in the lead, home field advantage at 41%. Brock Purdy's inexperience at 39%. Eagles' dominance versus the Giants at 19%. And then 1% 49ers injuries.
Yeah, 49ers guys are going to play. All right, 610-632-0975. We'll have what's trending with Tom soon, but let's go to the phones, I promise. Lee in Philly. You're on 97.5 tonight. What's going on, Lee?
Hey, yo, guys. How you doing? I'm hoping that Jen gets well soon.
Yes.
Hey, listen, man. I'm feeling better about this game than I did the Giants game. Here's my keys. And, offensively, we're fine. Hurts is going to confuse their defense to the point where they're not going to know what to do. I'm looking at us putting up 27.
Okay.
Now, San Francisco, Purdy, being a rookie, he doesn't know what's going on out there in a big game such as this. So Coach Shanahan, he's going to be calling plays to protect him from the fierce Eagles rush that we have. Now, remember, Shanahan's a play-calling natural now. He knows what's up when calling plays. So now what we have to be concerned about, here's my keys, those quick outs. He's going to give this guy Purdy a lot of quick outs on to the edges. He's going to go with McCaffrey. Now, you guys said McCaffrey was off a couple days.
Yeah.
That is a hint right there. They're going to be using him to the maximum degree.
No, they're not going to use him because he's out. He's resting because he's been a little nicked up.
He's got a calf injury.
Yeah, and the soft tissue. You don't want to risk having a calf. He's going to play, but they're not doing it. Like, he's not going to get the ball more because they're sitting him.
Okay, let's hope that's true.
No. Like, we didn't say an opinion.
Okay.
He has a calf going on. Like, yeah, it's not fake. Like, he did have a calf.
Okay. Now, Kittle, we got to make sure we have Kittle under control, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's going to be going to him an awful lot. Suffice to say, If we can defend those particular keys, we'll win this game easily.
Well, yeah, Lee. I mean, it sounds like, you know, we know you've been watching football since the Al Capone days. You went from leather helmets to no face mask on real helmets to today with the visors and the shield. You've been doing it so long, Lee, that you had a lot of wisdom there.
All right, man, you peep my whole card. Okay.
You've been watching the game since Y.E. Tittle. He knows everybody. Yeah. He used to run numbers on the games. He used to take some action. Yeah.
He did say something very similar to James, though, when we had James Palmer on in regards to their weapons. Because I asked him, well, how do you see this team winning? The Eagles, that is. And you take a look at their weapons and do your best to slow them down. And I feel confident about that. I really do. And even, let's say, a couple players do make some plays, which is inevitable. That's going to happen. We have the counter on the other side. Because A.J. Brown or Dallas Goedert or Miles Sanders, they're going to do their part, too. So
shootout type game favors the Eagles. Because the quarterback's better.
Oh, yeah, the quarterback.
Because the quarterback's better.
If it becomes a, quote, shootout, then the Eagles will win because there's no way that offense with that quarterback will be able to keep pace.
Right.
I mean, but when you look at their running backs, a lot of yards after catch from their running backs, the way the Eagles tackle is gang tackling, which I think stops that. And I think that's how you can stop McCaffrey. That's how you stop Elliott.
Well, the thing is, with the way they want to do it, though, they're okay with 3 yards. You have to take it away more. They're okay with 3 yards because they don't want to get in a shootout.
Well,
because
they want to get into a 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3 situation where they could use Kittle.
And they want to have the clock. They don't want the Eagles to have the ball. That's another thing. They're going to want to do ball control type stuff. So they'll take that. That's why the out part that he was talking about was good. The problem is they're not faking like, all right, now we got to give them the ball, so let's rest them this week. It's, oh, your calf's a little, all right, let's rest you so you don't hurt it in practice. If you're going to hurt that calf, you're hurting in a game.
Would you be surprised if he had similar numbers this week than he had last week?
No, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, 10 carries, 35 yards.
Yeah, that's about what he is anymore. Brian in Lancaster, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Hello, Brian.
Hey, guys, how are you?
All right, how are you?
I feel like it's going to be hard to follow Lee there.
Yeah,
you know, so.
That's right.
yeah, we're going to see what happens. But, hey, I apologize if I've been on the phone a little bit here working, but I think one of the big things that I see where there's a lot more confidence right now than what there was with the Giants, I think a lot falls to injury and the unknown. You know, we all didn't know what was going to happen with Hurts. Saw how the way he played. The other thing that was a big concern to me was Lane Johnson. I just didn't expect him to play as dominant as what he did throughout the game. And watching him play, I think, and again, Hurts. I watched it with my son Tyler. He comes in every week for the game. And, you know, what really set me off is watching Hurts lean and run and take contact. The first thing he did was put his right arm up and say, pick me up. We're good. So I think the injuries are out of play now, and I think that's the confidence that I see with the team and the roster.
Yeah, all that, I buy all of that. The Lane Johnson, I mean, the guy's a warrior. I don't know how he's doing it. I'm thankful that he is. I don't know how he's doing it. And that was something. He's a righty, so naturally if you go down, you would go with the right hand unless it was hurting. So I did notice that early in the game. I'm like, all right, you're not having somebody pick you up by your right shoulder if your right shoulder's really hurting. So that was something. But him was a lot less shocking to me. The Lane was shocking. Like, he was just able to just power through the whole game. It was incredible.
I don't, and watching him run and cheer and celebrate.
Yeah.
It was amazing to me.
You know,
especially first play, I think you saw him kind of reach down and you thought, uh-oh. But seeing that, I think that's where a lot of the confidence comes now. I don't really care about what San Fran did against Dallas or vice versa. We have the better roster. We have the better team. If we're healthy.
Yep, and they are. Thanks for the call, Brian. We are healthy.
I can't get out of my mind what you were saying earlier about the sack differential. And I keep going back to that.
70-44 is a big gap.
It's not even close.
Like, oh, that defense. All right, those numbers. You're not giving enough credit to how important sacks are. If your analytics say that the number one defense had 44 compared to the Eagles 70. Like, there's something wrong with the analytics.
Yeah, there's a disconnect.
That's why I go with Jules' analytics. Macho and
Philly. It's almost 1.5 a game.
More.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. Like, that's way more. Oh, sack rate or pressure rate. Care about the pressure rate. I care if the pipe burst. The Eagles out there bursting pipes. Could have went a lot of worse places with that. I didn't. Let's go back to the folks. Macho and Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Macho.
What's going on, man? How you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Now, how'd you get that name?
It was actually a nickname given to me at birth, my father.
Oh, there you go. All right, so you didn't give yourself the name?
No.
Oh, that's good. Now, why are you confident in the Eagles?
Well, for a lot of reasons, actually. Most of them are for the whole team that we have right now. Like you said, this is the best team that we had in Eagles history.
Yep.
I've never seen a team this good put together in my 33 years of living, which is not that much, but like I said.
Now, you've seen a lot of football. You saw a lot of good football. You saw all the Andy Reid stuff. Those were really good teams, and this team is way better than those teams.
Definitely. I mean, all those NFC Championship games we won.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said, this team is way better than the 2017 team that we had in the Super Bowl. It's just like, and the chemistry in the locker room is just unreal, man. Unreal.
Yeah, everything seems to be clicking on all cylinders. And you also have some young players stepping in, some guys in their prime, and older guys still playing well at a high level. How does Brandon Graham get a career high in sacks coming off an Achilles at 34?
And the coaching staff, when they all got hired, we knew that they were young, but to flourish like this so quickly, all of them. I'm not just talking about Sirianni and Steichen and Gannon. It's the entire staff.
Quarterback coach coming from Florida, hadn't coached the NFL. Linebackers coach. You got guys all other than the offensive line coach. They're all like 30. Except for...
Well put together.
Good job, Howie.
I remember, I wanted someone like Jim Caldwell, just a veteran voice.
That's what I
wanted. But hey, it's working.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, the only games I've doubted were the two games that Jalen Hurts didn't play.
There it is. Oh, thanks for the call, Macho. That's what it is. 610-632-0975. Eric Kabil says, sorry for scheduling the journey song. He's getting texts from friends saying he's in the doghouse. He said to PJ, no. See, this is where people take it too far. If you've been to a bar, now it's been a while since I've been at a bar because we're about to do What's Trending with Tom. Usually don't stop believing is when people are pretty lathered up.
It's later.
Right, it's later. We're still in the 4 o'clock hour. That's all I was saying. It's a more of a wine. You wouldn't go to get a bar, hey, let's do shots, and immediately put on Don't Stop Believing.
We should blame
early.
It on Tom.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. That's fine.
Yeah, so Eric Camille's friends, why don't you text him and tell him that he's not in the doghouse about any music?
He's in the doghouse about other things.
But not about music.
No.
All right, time for us to step aside for a moment and find out what's trending with Tom, because it could be anything today. Been a wild boy today. Could be anything.
Yeah, it could. It absolutely could.
Yeah.
We're going to start. It's an island off of Sint Maarten, which is near the Netherlands, where a sailor has been rescued at sea. And he was adrift in the Caribbean for 24 days on a sailboat. 47-year-old Elvis Francois was working on his boat. It doesn't say how he got to sea, but eventually was, stranded. And he survived off ketchup, garlic powder, and seasoning cubes for 24 days. He scrawled the word help on the boat's hull, which was a key to the rescue. Spotted 120 nautical miles off land. Had to remove water from the boat constantly. Tried to light a fire to signal help. Didn't work. But then eventually a plane passed and he signaled with his mirror. How long would you guys last at sea off ketchup, garlic powder, and seasoning cubes?
Well, I need something to drink. And you can't drink that salt water. So I'd last about 48 hours.
I think mentally I'd break at some point because he said 24 days. After five, I go, I'm going down.
How do you even know how many days you're out there? I mean, after you get to five, six, you probably don't even know.
Well, he probably didn't know. Then they said, what day was it when you went out? And they have a layer.
He probably thought it was like 300 days.
Yeah, he might have said it was.
How sunburnt must he have been?
Unless he used the sailboat. Maybe he used the sail and went around to try to block some of the sun. He's sunburnt.
You don't think the phone can stop this from happening?
The what?
A phone.
Maybe
it's 2023. What are we doing here?
Did I get the cell signal out in the middle of the sea?
He did have his phone, but I think the cell signal wasn't working.
They're not getting signal everywhere. They don't have a tower out in the middle of the ocean.
Got to figure something out so this can't happen.
Well, then you
God forbid anybody knows how to survive without a cell phone.
Well, no, sorry, Ricky. You can't do that.
Come on, Ricky.
You can't get off my lawn or goddamn out to sea.
I'm not getting on the guy. I'm
survived. You're doing the get off my lawn thing. Well, obviously, if there was a cell tower out there.
I'd love to see what would happen if he didn't have a cell phone for like a month.
I promise you I'd be good. I promise you. I would actually think
you would
I would
be
love
freaking
it.
Out. No music, no nothing for you.
Well, you listen to music in the car on the radio. All you listen to radio.
The Fanatic.
That's what we do. That's what I do in the car anyway.
I guess he drank the ketchup, because you're right, you can't drink salt water.
Yeah, but is there really
water?
Yeah, I guess a little bit.
Probably had some kind of water, but
they can drink their urine.
Yeah, but that doesn't work too long. Here's the other thing. What are we doing with sailboats out there by yourself? He should have had somebody with him.
Is that a rule on the water?
I don't think there's people that do that.
Down there, I don't think they really
But there should be. I'm not going on a boat solo. I don't care if I'm just doing a little pond. You always have a buddy. Because then you might not end up off course.
Yeah, it's got a friend with you.
St. Martin's got a ton of islands around it.
Yeah, well, he had a sailboat, though. He's at the mercy of the wind. It's not that easy.
Yeah, so, well, luckily, he was okay. Walked back to shore. Good to go. We're going to move over to pizza. Pizza Hut has set the Guinness World Record for the world's biggest pizza pie. Contains 68,000 slices of pizza. This was at the LA Convention Center last week. Over 13,600 pounds of dough, 4,900 pounds of marinara sauce, 8,800 pounds of cheese, and 630,000 pepperoni. It was donated to a local food bank, about 14,000 square feet.
The disrespect of the homeless must stop. You know that wasn't well-made pizza.
No.
You know that. That was not made with any kind of love. Okay? Marinara sauce, loose. What they did was, man, they might have mashed some tomatoes at best and just threw them on. They didn't make that with any kind of love. Look at the size of that thing.
That's a big-ass pizza.
Yeah, it is.
They're being cost-efficient, is what you're saying.
It doesn't look very loved.
That's what I'm saying. And now, okay, homeless people are like, okay, yes, they have to eat something, but there's no care involved with giving the homeless that.
What would Anthony Gargano do if he saw that pizza?
He'd pass out.
He would not be a happy man. No. He might actually pass out.
100%.
Because he'd have a rage fever, because he takes his pizza very seriously. Very serious.
Wait a minute. How the hell they cook it?
It doesn't say, actually.
I think what they do is they
pieces at a time.
They put the dough together and stuff, and I think they halfway like blowtorch that thing. I'm serious.
Guess. Yeah, no, that would be the only
kind of like a blowtorch type of situation, which actually would work.
It's probably not going to taste good. It's not evenly cooked. Like that.
No, yeah. On the edges, it's going to be burnt. The center's still going to be dough. That's what I mean. There's no love involved.
Pizza Hut CEO David Graves said Pizza Hut has a history of firsts, so it made sense for us to do this. They said they were the first to deliver pizza and first to do internet ordering, so it made sense to them to have the world's biggest pizza.
Were they the first for real like
that's
that?
That's what he said. I don't know if anyone fact-checked them.
I mean, maybe they were, but let me tell you. If you had a Pizza Hut party, though, when I was a kid, you were the king. I never had one.
Yeah, but that was in the restaurant.
Right, if you had in the restaurant, you had a party there, yeah, you were a king. Like, nobody could tell you anything in school. You were the man or woman.
That was between the age of, like, 7 to, like, 11.
If you could have your Pizza Hut party, I never had one. I used to get certificates for getting good grades to get a pie. You get the personal thing. I never get it. I think my dad did it. Because I never saw them, and the certificates would disappear.
I don't believe that they were the first ones to deliver pizza.
I'm just quoting the article.
Nobody in Italy thought to put one on the back of
a bicycle
or anything, a donkey, and walk them around to the neighborhood. I don't believe. There's no way they were the first.
You're probably right on that one. Last one. A Maryland man wins his second jackpot from a scratch-off in 3 years. So he collected $100,000 on a scratch-off just a couple weeks ago. He won $50,000 just 3 years ago on a different scratch-off. It was off a $10 ticket from 7-Eleven.
Man, that's where I guess that's usually my lotto place of choice sometimes. I have better luck at the 7-Eleven than anywhere else.
Start scratching.
He said he's going to treat his wife to a nice dinner, some home renovations. Other than that, he's not sure what he's going to do.
What the hell's going
on? Yeah, it was your fault. He said start scratching. Tom's in there just doing a great professional story, and you say
start scratching.
Why are people lucky like that? Not that I'm against it, but there's other people who play the lotto every day and never win. They win enough to buy more scratch.
There was a baseball player, Scott Service, that I played with in Arizona. He was going up to the big leagues, bought a lotto ticket, won. Hit like for $500,000. Wow. Came back, got sent back down, hit again.
See, like, why are there people that lucky? And then there's other people who really need the money.
It doesn't
happen.
They're
down to their last $5. And then they're going to win $5 to go buy another $5 scratch-off.
And then that's it.
Meanwhile, there's other people that can win like that.
I know a guy who I used to work with back in the restaurant business who was not a good golfer, won two cars from hitting hole-in-ones on a golf course.
This is what I mean. Those people, that's what Brock Purdy's going to need. That kind of luck. Well, thank you, Tom. That was actually very, very, did a good job.
Well thought out.
Yeah, it's a nice job there.
Thank you.
610-632-0975. Well, you had a bit of a weird day with the braid, so we didn't know how it was going to hit. You did a fantastic job. It was, good job.
I feel like I've been great all day, but thank you.
Say no.
610-632-0975. More of your phone calls, question of the day, and a lot of fun here on 97.5 Fanatic NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.